I think there is a little bit of an unknown to some people what Make-A-Wish can do. I think we've said before, you know, some people have that mentality that's only for like terminally ill children, and it's not. It's for a lot of different children under different treatments for different things. Mm-hmm. And I was completely unaware of that. And I just feel like Sarah's story, knock on wood, you know, how everything ended so far with her cancer journey, I just don't, I want parents to know, or guardians, that it doesn't always have to be a bad ending when you hear cancer. You know, there is like a light at the end of the tunnel, and this is something that they could have in their children's lives that can just make it a little bit lighter, and for them too. And I have so many parents that reach out to me on my Instagram for LCH specifically. Mm-hmm. And that's what made me like think, you know, this actually would be like a larger way to give back and just help educate people instead of just sending like one small direct message, This maybe could reach a lot more people with the Make-A-Wish brand. And I just want parents to know, like, you know, there is that light, and, you know, Make-A-Wish is a little bit of the light too.
Welcome to World of Wishes, the podcast that brings you inspiring stories of hope, resilience, and the incredible impact of Make-A-Wish in Southern Florida. I'm your host, Richard Kelly, and today we have a special guest joining us, Wish Mom Sarah Fayeo. Sarah's daughter, also named Sarah, had her wish come true with a magical Disney cruise. The wish wasn't just about the destination. It was about the memories their family made together, moments filled with laughter, joy, and pure Disney magic. From heartwarming experiences to hilarious adventures on board, Sarah is here to share how this wish brought their family closer and created memories they'll cherish forever. Get ready for a heartwarming conversation in this episode, Sarah Fayeo, laughter, love, and a lot of Disney magic. Hi, Sarah. It's great to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you.
So your daughter had a wish earlier this year, and we want to talk about that in length. But I want to ask you a little bit about Sarah, your daughter, and what kind of kid is she? You know, what does she like to do? What does she enjoy doing?
Sarah loves acrobat and gymnastics, and she actually loves to act and sing, and she's just a full of life kind of redheaded child.
But how does she do in school, and what does she like in school, and, you know, kind of frame that.
So this year is actually really interesting because she's never been super academic. She had some pitfalls when she was sick because she took some time out of school. But this year she seems to be really competitive with her older brother to get straight A's. So she's been working on that trajectory. So it's actually been really nice this year to see like how important her academics are.
So let's talk about her medical journey, her challenges. Mm-hmm. When did you first notice something wasn't quite right?
Out of the blue, she had a little bit of a stiff neck, and we weren't really sure why. And we just thought maybe she slept on it wrong, and it was kind of lasting a few days. Even her babysitter said, you know, Sarah's neck is a little stiff. And I was like, yeah, you're kind of right. And when we were asking her about it, she said somebody at daycare was in recess, and they just like kind of put their fingers around her neck and pulled it up a little bit. Maybe they were playing or whatever. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that could have done it. Right. And it actually wasn't until she was at her dad's house and she tripped over a shoe. And her dad said she was like crying all night, and she's a really tough kid.
Right.
So for her to be crying and saying something really hurts, we're like, okay. So the next morning, he took her into Golisano's hospital.
Okay.
And then from there, I get called, and I come in, and I'm like, what's going on? And Sarah has a broken neck, and I'm like, how is that possible? And the hospital doctor, whoever, I can't recall now, mm-hmm. but took you and me and my ex-husband into like a tiny room. That's like I call it the scary room. Yeah. You never want to be brought into a tiny room.
Yeah.
And that's where they said Sarah had lesions on her skull, on her spine. And I didn't know what a lesion was. I had no idea what she was talking about.
Yeah.
And that's when she said, well, it appears that she has some sort of cancer. And I think I threw up like as soon as she said that. It was just like horrible.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where we were. And from there, we're at Scalasano's, and they said, she has to leave. She has to go to John Hopkins, and she can't, because of her broken neck, she cannot be transported by like ambulance, that we have to get a helicopter. And, you know, I'm just like signing away at everything. Yeah. And they're like, these are private vendors. I'm like, you know, in the moment you're just like, whatever, just sign. Yeah. And me and my ex-husband got in a car, his car, and he had to drive. I mean, I just could not drive. So we got there as fast as we could. Thankfully, we had my ex-husband's aunt and uncle, which is really like a mom and dad to him, and they live in Clearwater, and they're like, we will meet Sarah Jr. at the hospital. We will be there when she gets off that helicopter. Yeah. So she was in good spirits. I mean, you know, Sarah's a very lovable girl, you know, and she was just so happy to like see Uncle Dan, and then they gave her like a juice box, and by the time we got there, she was like happy as a clam.
Yeah.
But it was after that, you know, we started to get the information about what kind of cancer she had, how it affected her, and how it's been affecting her for years. It was really, I mean, aren't all cancers almost a silent cancer at some point? And for her, it was completely silent. I mean, it probably had been eating away at her for years, and we just had no idea.
Yeah. How old was she at the time?
She had just turned 5.
Yeah.
Just turned 5.
So we hear the parents, when they get their cancer diagnosis, they don't hear anything else beyond the word cancer. You know, the doctor comes in and says, you know, whatever the medical terminology is, and cancer. And then the parents say that after that, they might as well, they can say anything because I'm not listening at that point. Was that sort of that moment, besides the throwing up?
Yeah, I think at that point, that's all I heard. And once we got to John Hopkins, I mean, I was like, all ears. I wanted to know every little thing. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to understand it because they said it was a really rare cancer. It's called Langerhans cell histiocytosis, LCH for short. And it actually only affects, at the time, like 200 or 250,000 kids a year under the age of 5. So it's just like very, you know, small. Yeah. It sounds like a lot of people, but it's not.
Right.
And that's when I was just, originally, like when I heard it, I was like, I don't know, like whatever, just get me to the hospital. I want to be with my daughter. But once I was there, I was the one that was just like, tell me every single thing about this cancer and pretty much how is my daughter not going to die? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want to know.
Right.
And how are we going to fix her? So from there, they told us, you know, it did affect her C-spine. Portion of her C3 and C4 was completely gone. She had 2 lesions on her skull, so she had to get a metal plate on her skull. And it actually started with her teeth, believe it or not. She had like all these cavities as like a 3-year-old. And we're like, oh my God, we're like being horrible parents. Like, how does she have all these cavities? Right. Yeah. But that was actually the first sign. So this type of cancer, you can eat away at bone, skin, organs. And for Sarah's case, even though it was in multiple places, it seemed to only want to attach like bone. Okay. So they only said it's like, you know, 1, not instead of 2 or 3 or however they do it. So we had like all these doctors. We had for her, it was in the middle of her ears, it was on her teeth, so we, and then her skull, and then her spine. So John Hopkins, believe it or not, in St. Pete was actually number 2 in the country for LCH.
Yeah.
So we were like so lucky. Yeah. And the doctors were great, and they wanted to get her into treatment so fast, like, we need to get you, you know, back down to Golisano's in treatment, you know, once a week.
How did Sarah take all of that? How did she, you know, a lot of times we hear about the resilience of kids and, you know,
thank God at that age, she doesn't even now remember much. I mean, maybe it's a little, you know, she doesn't want to remember type situation, but the hospitals, I mean, John Hopkins is just like a well-oiled machine.
Right.
They made it so pleasant, if you will, and a happy time for Sarah.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, we had like dogs coming in and animals and like people dressed as, well, you know, somebody dressed as Bert and Ernie. I mean, every day, like coloring and the child life specialist. And the only bad, like horrible part for Sarah was getting poked. She always says it like, am I going to get a pokey? Like, I'm going to get it. But she was getting poked all the time. But other than that, she's a pretty happy, you know, there's 4 kids in her family. So for Sarah to get her own attention, Sarah likes her own attention anyway, before all of this, she was always that one child that like just loves my attention. So she was getting specialized attention. It was a horrible thing, but yeah, I mean, she barely got sick. She got sick a couple times from treatment, nothing like horrible. But other than that, she doesn't remember much of it.
Okay.
So I remember all of it.
I'm sure.
You know, but mm-hmm. for Sarah, it wasn't an easy time, but the things that she does remember always sound pretty pleasant that she does, you know, understand what was happening.
Do you remember when Make-A-Wish came into your life?
Yes, it was back at Golisano's when we first started treatment. I was taking Sarah to her treatments, and Make-A-Wish, they came into the room and said, you know, would you like a wish? And I'm like, oh my God, like, I've going through the darkest time in my life.
Right.
And, here's this person coming in with this like beautiful offer. Mm-hmm. And instead of thinking about, the monotony of like every single day, like thinking about like this cancer, is it going to go away? When's it going to go away? Is her hair going to fall out? Like all these things, it was something to like look forward to and something we could get like excited about.
Yeah.
It was like a really beautiful time and wasn't expecting it at all.
Yeah.
I think one of the nurses had asked me too, like, oh, do you want me to have Make-A-Wish come into the room? And that was before. And so I kind of forgot. I was like, yeah, sure. And forgot about it. And then somebody came in. I don't even know who now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and they just like made this like beautiful offer, explained to me a little bit because Sarah's going through treatment. She doesn't have to be terminal. And that I didn't know. I thought you had to have like a terminal situation in order to be granted a wish. So it was just like a beautiful experience for us. And it was just like the perfect timing, honestly.
Yeah. So I know that there, the process of Sarah's wish being granted, she chose a wish and COVID complicated it. I know there was a kind of a long journey there. Walk us through what she originally chose and then what she eventually chose.
Yeah. So it was, Sarah just got granted her wish this year. So it's 5 years. She's 10 now.
Yeah.
So she originally wanted to meet JoJo from like Dance Moms mm-hmm. and the dancer. Sarah loves dancing. And we also wanted to wait until Sarah, neck was healed and all these things. So we kind of were like just saying like, let's just wait until like we understand like when she can be out of her. She was in a neck cast. She was in a half body cast and a neck cast. And we wanted to wait on that. And once we realized Sarah was okay, she's kind of ending her treatment. She is going to go into remission. Then we're like, okay, let's get on the JoJo list. And then COVID happened. So we were on the list and they did say like, JoJo is a very popular one. So there's a little bit of a long list. And I told Sarah that and she said, I'll wait.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, it's her wish. She can do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened. And then they said, did you want something else? We're really not doing in-person greetings right now.
Right.
And I asked Sarah and she said, no, I'm gonna wait. And
okay.
So we started waiting some more.
Yeah.
And then, obviously JoJo was starting to get a little bit older. And then I asked her again, like, what do you want? We're still not doing the in-person greetings. This is like, this girl's becoming like a young adult, JoJo.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said a Disney cruise. And of course, we're not doing Disney cruises.
Right. Yep. Not that either.
I think, people still had to get like COVID shots to go on a cruise, never mind like a kids Disney cruise, So Make-A-Wish said, we're going to have to wait on that one. And again, Sarah said, okay, well, I'll wait. And it was a couple of years, Make-A-Wish was reaching out. Fran was reaching out to us saying like, is there anything else? I can still like hear her voice.
Mm-hmm.
We can do anything. And I would ask Sarah, like they'll redo the room, take you shopping. She would just say, no, I'll wait.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's, for how impatient she is with some things, like the patience for this was like unbelievable to me. I mean, this is, she really wanted to wait it out. And finally, Make-A-Wish said, we're opening up like the Disney cruises.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to be part of like the first ones? And I was like, yes. Like, oh my gosh, sign us up. And it doesn't, talking about it doesn't seem like a lot of time, but I mean, it really was almost nearly 5 years.
Yeah.
It was really amazing. And once we got the AOK, we got on the cruise in July.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
So for a 5, 6, 7-year-old girl to have that kind of patience is amazing. And that's quite the process. But COVID did interrupt a lot of things.
Yeah.
And some of those wishes had to be postponed for health reasons. And
of course,
when you have medically compromised children, you can understand, why that has to happen. But then the cruises came back and they're fully back now. now. And so you get the word that the Disney cruise is open and you have a big family. So,
yeah,
you know, you're all going on the cruise. Mm-hmm. And, so walk us through, you know, what a Disney cruise is like for a Make-A-Wish kid, because we know, yeah, we know what, you know, we know what cruises are like, what Disney cruises are like, but, the treatment that our kids get on Disney cruises is like nothing else.
Yes, there's actually was a worker there on the cruise that was for like Make-A-Wish kids. Yeah. I mean, I've never been on a Disney cruise before. I'd been on a cruise, but I've never been on a Disney cruise where I was already like impressed. Mm-hmm. And then the way it was almost like having our own like assistant that just like adored Sarah,
yeah,
you know, like, yeah, this complete stranger that like adored my daughter and just wanted to her to have like the best time.
Yeah.
And in the background too, she was doing things for Sarah. She was getting her on like greeting lists with the princesses. You know, you're some people sign up for these things like a year in advance, you mm-hmm. know, or whatever. And she got her also part of the princess parade. And she also went in, didn't even tell me. And we had purchased like the pictures package and things like that. And she just right. took it off. Like just, you know, took it off the bill. I was like, that is so sweet. And she checked on us every single day, gave me a call or left me a voicemail in the room. And I mean, they really took good care of us. Even our stewardess knew that Sarah was a Wish child. Mm-hmm. And I mean, every day he brought presents. Like we'd come back and he had presents. And for all the kids too, not just Sarah, which was really special. But I did try to let them know, you know, Sarah's, you know, Wish, like, you know, got you these things. Right. And we made it about Sarah a lot. And I know Sarah just adored that.
Yeah.
But the fact that Sarah also like brought her brother and sisters and wanted all of us to be there, you know, I thought was just so sweet. Because again, this child loves mommy time, like mm-hmm. just mommy alone time.
Yeah.
And not once did she ever say like, I wish like it was just me and you, or I just want this to be me. It never, not once. So yeah. I just thought that was like so sweet. And the cruise itself, I mean, it was really just like, I know it's cliche to say, but it was the most magical time I've ever, I mean, I was in like my childhood self, like, so I can't even imagine how the kids felt. I mean, no words can really explain like the event. It was really beautiful.
And it was on the Disney Wish.
It was on the Disney Wish. Yeah, it was just so perfect. Yeah. It was really amazing.
Yeah, so she got to meet princesses. She got to ride water slides and all of the things.
Everything. I mean, we got to be first in line for everything. Even our dinner attendants. I mean, they just went so out of their way to always check on us and really just give us whatever the kids' hearts desires. They were wonderful to us.
We've talked about this separately. But it can be tough for siblings of Wish kids because, mm-hmm. you know, their sibling is going through what they're going through medically. The attention is all mm-hmm. over the place. Families are kind of just broken in half or in thirds. You know, can you just tell us a little bit about that dynamic of, you know, Sarah is going through what she's going through, all the attention's on her, she has siblings, and how that can kind of just disrupt a family's dynamic.
Yeah, well, we were already a divorced family, but thankfully we only lived like 10 minutes apart. But right. I think most moms would agree the work and the brunt is on the mom,
right.
and the emotional stress and mm-hmm. taking to the appointments. And so I will say that Sarah is the second oldest, and then she has like two little sisters. So the little sisters, I don't really think they noticed much during her treatments and everything. And her older brother, he was more like sensitive to the situation because he was watching his sister, like I'm getting emotional, like go through that. But all in all, you know, for Sarah, I think our family was okay. You know, Sarah, again, is used to being the one that has the most attention. So we kind of already like have this going on in our house.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know, maybe the kids would say something different. But during the time I was so invested in Sarah's treatment, I wouldn't say the others were neglected, but maybe they felt like that. And I don't know, right. you know, because you are on like a fight or flight response. And I do now, looking back like 5 years ago, I say all the time, like my head was in a cloud. I thought I was functioning like really highly, but really I probably like was not. And I hope they weren't affected, but I think probably every parent has some kind of like mom or dad guilt, you know, because there is just so much that's needed at that time. But once we were on the ship, it really was just like a celebration of Sarah. Not that there wasn't fighting. There was. I'm not going to lie about that. Oh my gosh. The great thing about the ship, though, is all the kids have like these wristbands. They can go in and out of their clubs all by themselves. And so I'm like, okay, I think we all need like a minute, you know, let's meet back up at the pool in a little bit. But it really was like a celebration of Sarah. And we are just so lucky that Sarah's been in remission and stays in remission. So for us, it was just like a real celebration, which was nice.
We feel it's on Make-A-Wish side, we feel like it's really important to involve the entire family, because the entire family goes through, you know, the illness treatment, all of those things. And it's really heartening to hear about how your family, you know, enjoyed all of that and got to enjoy it. And it wasn't just about Sarah. Everybody got to have their own little piece of it.
Yeah, I was really grateful. And the sponsor for Sarah was the Lake Michigan Credit Union. And they threw this like huge party. It was just me and Sarah that went, but they had I wasn't aware that they would get gifts for like all the kids. And they bought all this stuff for the kids, like all these like Disney things. They go on the Disney cruise. They even got magnets for the doors, which I didn't even know was a thing for Disney cruises. And it was just like so sweet. And when I get home, I mean, I have a picture of the living room. It was just like filled with toys and Mickeys and Minis and everything. And it was like, and Sarah and I were so excited setting it all up, saying like, okay, this is for this person. This is for this, you know, brother, sister, whatever. And the kids were just like so happy. And like, I'm so grateful because, I guess looking back, like if they hadn't been included, that would have been really hard on them, I think.
I've seen you at three events recently, and you know, and your cruise was just not ended not too long ago. Why do you think it's so important for you to get back like that, to attend, you know, a Make-A-Wish event or something like that? Why is that important for you and your family?
Well, it's personally important to me because I think there is a little bit of an unknown to some people what Make-A-Wish can do. I think we've said before, you know, some people have that mentality that's only for like terminally ill children, and it's not. It's for a lot of different children under different treatments for different things. And I was completely unaware of that. And I just feel like Sarah's story, knock on wood, you know, how everything ended so far with her cancer journey, I want parents to know, or guardians, that it doesn't always have to be a bad ending when you hear cancer. You know, there is like a light at the end of the tunnel, and this is something that they could have in their children's lives that can just make it a little bit lighter, and for them too. And I have so many parents that reach out to me on my Instagram for LCH specifically. And that's what made me like think, you know, this actually would be like a larger way to give back and just help educate people instead of just sending like one small direct message, you know, like this maybe could reach a lot more people with the Make-A-Wish brand. And I just want parents to know, like, you know, there is that light, and you know, Make-A-Wish is that, is a little bit of the light too.
It does mean a lot to us, and you know, that aspect of it is, and for you sharing your story, because, you know, your story does have, it is happy, and the cruise is happy, and, you know, Sarah's doing well, and it's important for our donors to know that, you know, we're not granting wishes for just for terminally ill children. There are children who have life-threatening conditions or illnesses, and and that's you know, that's entirely different population, entirely different set. And you know, for parents of children who have cancer or some other disease, when Make-A-Wish comes into their lives, we don't want them to think that, you know, we're the Grim Reaper, or we're something, you know, that there is something that they don't know, something the doctor hasn't told them.
Exactly.
Is why Make-A-Wish is coming into their lives. So so that's why that awareness part is important. And we thank you for the part you play in helping us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. And when I did have Make-A-Wish come into my life, I forgot to mention this, I actually like Googled a little bit more deeply into Make-A-Wish. And if anybody goes online, they can see how many how much money goes to these kids and the wishes that are granted, the money that's donated. I mean, almost nearly every dollar goes to making these wishes come true. Yeah. It's really like a special and beautiful like organization that Make-A-Wish is.
You got the opportunity to meet the sponsor of your daughter's wish, mm-hmm. Lake Michigan Credit Union. They're great sponsors of ours, but it really does take a lot of generous people to make the wishes happen because, you know, like in your case, you know, your entire family went on a Disney cruise and, you know, that's, there's a cost to that.
Yeah.
And,
it's not cheap.
I'm glad you said it, not me.
It's not. I realized.
Yeah. But, you know, so because we treat, wishes as, you know, as first class events, we want it to be the best of the best, you know, those come with cost to them.
And
we're not a government agency. We don't get United Way funding. So if we're all privately funded. So, so that's why the generosity of donors and sponsors, is really, really important to us. I want to ask you one last question about the cruise. And, was there any part of it where you just, you know, you got to kind of take a step back and really reflect on what that week meant versus what you mm-hmm. had been through for years, you know, with Sarah's initial treatment and then all of the things that go through and COVID and all of the things. Did you get a moment to reflect? And then what was that like?
I would say that was probably at the end of the cruise, like on our last dinner where mm-hmm. everything's kind of like wrapping up, going back to reality. I would say it was not just me. It was like all of us. We were kind of talking about it and saying like, oh my gosh, like Sarah, you waited so long, mm-hmm. you know, like, and it was like such an amazing experience. And we were just, I think it was then at dinner that last night where we were all like, we did like this, the Marvel dinner and mm-hmm. all the characters came through and Spider-Man came through and it was like at the end and the dinner staff was saying goodbye to us and goodbye to Sarah. And I think it was then we all sort of started talking about it like, wow, like this took like a long time. Like I can't believe like you waited and we can't believe we got to go on the Disney cruise. And I think it was then like, I was just like, wow, what a journey this has been. And thank God for the outcomes. And I actually am just so happy that the things worked out the way it did. I'm glad it took 5 years because it made us even more special. Mm-hmm. You know, it made it even more of a special event for Sarah and for everything that like we went through.
What do you think you remember about that time, you know, 10 years from when Sarah's an adult and it's 10 years from now, 20 years from now? What do you think you remember? What will you reflect back on that week?
I think, you know, we don't get a lot of family vacations together. It's a big crew. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to remember that trip for the rest of our lives. I mean, the whole thing, there's just so many funny moments that we had together as a family because there's no pressure when you're on vacation. Maybe there is like pressure, you know, you have to stick to a budget. I mean, it was really a no budget type situation. And we were all just really carefree. And we just have so many funny stories about that trip between siblings and the things that were said and the one-liners. We just had like the best time. I don't know if there's like just one particular thing. I think they will talk about me getting bit by a fish. That'll like last with them forever. Because I was such a baby about it, and like that's funny to them. The princesses, they made bracelets with the princesses. I mean, there was just like so many. It was nonstop, but it was amazing. They got to stay up to like 11 o'clock at night doing activities, mm-hmm. and just the whole thing. I think we're just gonna remember that forever.
Yeah. How many pictures are in your phone?
Oh my God, I don't even know.
It's 1,000.
I don't even know.
Hundreds.
1,000 for sure. Plus we have all the pictures they gave us. We have pictures from the Bahamas and the dolphin thing, and then just pictures from the cruise in general. We were taking so many. It's just so many. July was it looks like a packed full month, but it was really just 5 days.
June is a few pictures, August is a few, and then July is
and
just
then it's like 1,000 pictures.
July broke the phone.
Mm-hmm. I actually had to like get more space in my computer because I was trying to like put them in my computer and it was like, you need more storage. I was like, oh my gosh, like I had to like put it into the cloud instead.
Yeah. Well, we're so happy that, you know, that we were able to do that for your family. Thanks to everybody that contributed, the volunteers, that Fran who came out to interview you and was very patient, the whole process in Lake Michigan, and everybody that contributes to wishes. And we're so happy that the outcome is how maybe exceeded your expectations.
Way. And so and, grateful.
And we were able to deliver on that. And thank you for sharing your story. And we're so happy to hear that Sarah is doing well and
thank
your family
you.
Is doing well. And we'll have a lifetime of memories from that week.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully moving forward, you know, and as I said, you've attended a lot of Make-A-Wish events, made
we
new
love
friends.
It.
You
yeah.
Know?
It's a beautiful community and we're not from here. And I really feel like, you know, I really gravitated to the Make-A-Wish family and community. They've been so wonderful to us and I just love going to the events.
Yeah. Well, you'll always be part of our family. And thank you for that. Thank you for joining our family. Thank you for joining us on this podcast and all the best for Sarah and your family moving forward.
Thank you.
Thanks to Sarah and thank you for listening to the special episode of World of Wishes produced by Make-A-Wish Southern Florida. To learn more about how you can help make wishes come true for kids like Sarah's daughter, visit us at wish.org/SFLA. We also ask for your help in supporting this podcast by rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you get your podcast and tell some friends. You can also listen to our archive shows at worldofwishespodcast.org.